And welcome to Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight. We are the retro talk program for nostalgia and baby boomer stuff here on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network. I'm Smitty.
I'm Mike.
And we welcome you to this latest episode of Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight. This is kind of a special episode for us because this is our fourth anniversary episode. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and give you some hints about some of the things that are coming up this season on Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight. But, Mike, it's our fourth anniversary.
It is, Smitty. And, you know, we're still using the toaster we got on that very special first day. And I thought, there couldn't be a better song to describe 4 years of working alongside you in the studio here than our good friend Larry Parks, who portrayed Al Jolson in The Jolson Story, 1946.
There you go.
The anniversary song.
There, and that's what we're listening to right now.
Yes, it is. It brings a tear to the eye. If I didn't have another 28, 29 minutes to do on this show, I would probably break down, as I do so often at anniversaries and, unfortunately, funerals. And we've got to talk about an American original who left us early part of the year, this month,
yes,
Phil Everly.
Yeah, Phil Everly. We'll be talking about Phil Everly the second half of our program. But, yes, folks, 4 years that Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight has been on the air, and it's been a pleasure to work alongside my good buddy and partner, Mike Bragg. And it's been fun, Mike. We've got 100. This is our 130th program that we're doing.
This will be 130. That's right. And we've gone the gamut. We've gone out on location. We've been to swap meets. We went out to visit Larry Van Nuys. We've been to a soda pop market with all the old brands of soda pop. And, you know, I just feel like we've just barely got our water wings, Smitty. I feel like we've just caught our zone.
Yeah.
There's so many things we have in store for the show, but even more exciting for this year that's coming. We've done our pre-production meetings and our planning for 2014, and share with the listeners some of the cool stuff that we're going to be talking about.
Absolutely, Mike. Well, 2014, those of you who have listened to us in the past year, 2013, you know, we covered a lot of anniversaries, a lot of things that happened, and we're going to be doing more of the same in 2014. I guess the biggest thing that we have coming up, of course, 2014 is the 50th anniversary of the British invasion, the Beatles coming to America.
Yeah.
And we have several programs that we're planning on doing regarding that and the surrounding craze that happened.
Well, that's true, Smitty. And, you know, 64 being the 50th anniversary, that's the 50th anniversary, actually, of what they call the British invasion. And who better but to lead the invasion than the Beatles? And it was February of 1964. The Beatles had appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, and a couple of days thereafter went in live concert in Washington, D.C., followed by a concert at Carnegie Hall. And it was exciting because with the Beatles came all the other ones, and it's going to give us plenty of stuff to talk about throughout the year, because along came the Dave Clark Five, Jerry and the Pacemakers, of course, the Rolling Stones,
sure,
the Kinks, and everybody else. And with the help of you, the listeners, we're going to be talking a little bit about a lot of them and a lot about a few of them, the few of them being, of course, the Beatles and probably the Rolling Stones. But it was an exciting time in 64, and we're not really an anniversary show. Every show is not going to commemorate a 50th or a 25th or a 30th or a 10th, but it just so happens 1964 was jam-packed full of stuff going on 50 years ago this year. Politically in the United States, of course, the Johnson-Goldwater election, we're going to talk about Vietnam, basically.
Sure, a lot of Vietnam.
President Johnson, mm-hmm, got into full swing. 64 was a wonderful time of music. It was a cultural time of change in America, and we're going to be right on top of all of those issues in the next coming months here at Galaxy.
Absolutely, and some of the other things that were, just to give you just a very brief idea, some of the things that we're planning on talking about, 2014 will be the 70th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy in 1944. It's going to be the 45th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing in 1969. It's going to be a year in which we remember statehood of Alaska and Hawaii, who came in at that time in around 1959. We're also going to remember the Nixon resignation in 1974. The year 1969, we lost some very well-known personalities, Judy Garland and Boris Karloff, and so we're going to remember them. So a lot of other things, and a lot of guests, too. We've always have guests that we want to bring you who have particular interesting things to share with all of us, and we're going to be having more guests in 2014.
Well, you know, Smitty, also, we talk about 64. Let's go back and hit the rewind button to 1954, and that was a busy year, too. We had the premiere on TV of Father Knows Best, which to us baby boomers is probably one of the shows each and every one, I know each and every one of you listeners have listened to or watched and continue to watch, thanks to Antenna TV and MeTV. Bill Haley and the Comets, Rock Around the Clock, that song hit the airwaves in 54. Elvis Presley cut his first commercial record. they had the first in what's known as do-it-yourself household repairs and projects where all these folks had now owned their own homes in the 50s, and now what followed was you could fix it yourself. And we're going to talk about my dad and your dad hitting their fingers with a hammer and some of the vocabulary that goes into the archives of what I remember my dad saying when he stapled his thumb to the 2x4 in the den he was drywalling. We talked in 54 about the vaccine for polio.
Yes.
I even went to school with some kids who unfortunately had contracted polio, and polio was still a big threat and was still very well talked about as part of dinner conversation in the news.
Sure.
You're a news program guy, Smitty, since day one when I met you. It's the 60th anniversary of Meet the Press.
Yes.
Although you wouldn't tell the two shows were one and the same.
I know.
You wouldn't tell today's Meet the Press would come from the same mama as the one 60 years ago.
No.
But a lot. Marlon Brando, The Wild One.
Sure.
One of the movies we talk about. So we've got a lot. And it's a pop culture story. But then again, as I say, we don't talk about the 50th or the 60th or the 75th anniversaries of anything. They just happen to be really important years. But you, the listeners, if you've got some feedback, some things you'd like us to talk about, doesn't have to be an earmarked year. It can be anything.
Right.
We're here for you, and we get a lot of our information as a result of the feedback in the mailbag that we open that comes from our listeners.
Absolutely. And, Mike, we want to thank all of you out there who send us emails and who contact us, and we get a lot of emails at our Galaxy moonbeamnightside@gmail.com email, and we invite you to keep on contacting us. It sometimes takes us a while to get back to you. You may not hear from us right away, but we do read each and every one of your emails, and we do take into account each and every one of your suggestions. We have some good suggestions that we have in the hopper for upcoming topics. It just takes time to go through everything and put things together, because it does involve research. It's not really just a question of just getting into the studio and firing up the computer and looking up Wikipedia or looking up Google. It's not that. We do our own research, and we try to bring you something additional that you're not going to find anyplace else. But we do thank all of you who contact us. Also, all of you who contact us with your nice comments, that you take us with you on your job, you take us with you on your vacations, you take us with you on the weekends, and that makes us feel very, very gratified that you are taking us with you, listening to our programs, and we certainly love being a part of your life.
Yeah, so well said, Smitty. And I was going to ask you here on this show, do you know what Jackie Chan and John Travolta have in common?
I do not know. What do they have in common?
They go to the same Dr. Scholl's booth at CVS Pharmacy. No, that's not it. They were both born in 1954.
54.
And I mention that because we do like to talk about celebs and notables and birthdays. I had my 60th last year,
yes,
but there's a lot of notables we're going to talk about. But John Travolta, and this is a baby boomer show, so if you had never heard of John Travolta, then maybe you should tune in to NFL Weekly Update, because we're probably the wrong, we're about two sizes too small for your instep. to be wearing this show. Jackie Chan, of course, even Bruce Hornsby, Condoleezza Rice. A lot going on, 54, 64, 44, as Smitty said. We're going to talk quite a bit about D-Day,
yes,
which turned the tide in World War II and is featured in so many movies and books and articles. I mean, that was actually the official turning point, as far as many historians believe, for World War II.
It was, Mike, and, you know, we just gotten through finishing our season for 2013. Those of you who have been were so kind enough to listen to us and to some of our shows, and, of course, we covered major anniversaries of 2013. Again, as Mike said, not everything that we cover is on the anniversary, not the 20th or 30th or 40th or 50th, but we did have some major events in 2013, among them the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination, the 75th anniversary of the War of the Worlds broadcast. Our good friend Dave Leonard joined us with some good programs on Top 40 Radio. We had the 55th anniversary of the Boeing 707 jet airplane. I mean, just so many things that we talked about, and so many things that we're going to be talking about. And, of course, anytime that we have anything breaking, which we don't know what this year is going to bring us, in terms of losing people that we grew up with, so of course we will bring that news to you as well. But it's really a joy to be able to thank all of you on our fourth anniversary. You know, normally, Mike, we've commemorated our milestones by commemorating 50th shows and 100th shows, but now I think we're getting to the point where now it's going to be more along the lines of years, our fourth year and hopefully our fifth year and many more to come.
Yes, true, Smitty, and we've had some entrances and some exits with some of the Galaxy Gang staff. We were with Shotgun Tom Kelly last night. We took him over a replica or a duplicate of our award that Shotgun was so helpful in helping us get, San Diego Press Club Award, Excellence in Broadcasting, Excellence in Journalism. And I was thinking about how many people have helped get us to the fourth, to our fourth anniversary. Of course, there's been Shotgun. And for those who have wondered why they haven't heard our friend George Halilakos, well, guess what, George Halilakos fans? George is back.
George is coming back very soon.
And he's got a big, big bag full of ideas. And he will be back to share with you some of the great times and great memories and great experiences he had as a baby boomer growing up in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley area. So look forward to George. We've had guests. Dave Leonard's going to be back, I'm sure.
Sure.
John and Susan Fox are going to help us at the helm with the Beatles.
Yes.
And we've got so many people in mind that we're going to be talking to as this year unfolds.
That's right. Every year we look forward to finding new people that we can bring to our microphones to share their stories, their input, their lives, and we've been very fortunate. We've had some wonderful guests. Again, Shotgun Tom Kelly, Dave Leonard, John Coleman. Looking back even further, Tommy Sarmiento was with us once, Jeff Prescott, Bill Earl, just so many people that have been on our show, and we're grateful to each and every one of them, and we certainly look forward to having more guests this year and in future shows to tell us their particular story, their particular take on their recollections of the baby boomer years.
And again, if you do have any ideas or you'd like to hear about something, we do go into depth. Even when something hits mainstream media news, maybe it'll get 10 seconds, if that much. We lose a notable that was somebody very important to us growing up as baby boomers. They might get 5-10 seconds, or maybe a little feature story on CBS Sunday Morning, but we do go in depth. We're happy to dig in and get the details. So we're going to talk about technology. We don't like to leave technology out of our shows. We dance around a little bit and talk about technology, but the listeners, you're going to be blown away by some of the headway that technology. We were talking the other day about iPods and iPads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You're going to be excited to find out we are going to continue reviewing some of the technology. We're even going to talk about some of the early computers, right, Smitty?
Yes, we have a section, in fact, Mike, that you and George Halilakos are going to spearhead about early computers, the computer revolution, remembering back some of those early. Remember the Remember the Tandy, and remember the Commodore, and remember the Atari, and remember all those. Well, we're going to talk about all those. Floppy disks, 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. Remember those? And I'll be joining in, too, because I had one of those early computers. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We do like to cover the technology, because somehow the technology went hand in hand with all that we grew up with.
And we even talk about the music of the time and some of the tunes in it, and going back to 1964 again, that was a very musical year. There was a lot going on in music. And we're going to fast forward up 50 years and tell you how technology has changed as far as the cost. We now have technology, and you and I, Smitty, have talked about it. You could actually set up your own recording studio in an extra bedroom in your home and almost equal or at least mimic some of the recording studios that have spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. The technology has just really made it more feasible for anybody to set up a small recording studio, whether they're recording music or talk or whatever they're doing. It's become within the reach of just about everybody now.
And we are a full circle, a cyclical show. We're going to come full circle now. Because here you have some of the greats, Lennon and McCartney, with a reel-to-reel tape recorder, playing some of their music, drawing some of their songs out. We've come full circle now, Smitty. We don't have the big reel-to-reels, but we've got the iPhones, where somebody 14, 15 years old, kind of like McCartney and Lennon when they were in their late teens, can get together on the patio or the guest bedroom and actually... You folks, you may have your next superstar Grammy Award-winning musician sitting there on your block or even in your house.
Exactly, exactly. And just like when we were kids, we would get out either the reel-to-reel tape recorder or the little cassette deck and record ourselves. Now the kids are recording themselves on computers and iPads and iPhones, and it's very possible that a future star is right there in your right there next to you or right there in your neighborhood. So... As we begin our fourth year, we thank you for joining us and for being with us, and we certainly look forward to having more programs for you, and we thank all of you out there for your support and always welcome hearing from you. Well, Mike, let's pause for a retro commercial, and then we'll be back with the second half of our show, which is we're going to look back at the life of Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers.
Okay.
Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Galaxy Moonbeam Night Sight on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.
New, fresh roast flavor in new Instant Maxwell House. The most happy flavor in the USA.
Hi, I'm Ken Kramer, and you're listening to Galaxy Moonbeam Night Sight on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.
Well, welcome back to Galaxy Moonbeam Nightside here on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network. I'm Smitty with my good buddy Mike B., and we're going to remember someone who we just lost a few days ago, Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers, the very, very well-remembered and multi-hit winning duo that was so popular back in the 50s. And we're going to turn it over to Mike and let him lead us off on this, because this is another one of those... individuals, Mike, another one of these artists, another one of these groups that is just disappeared from our midst.
Well, and I think anybody who learned of the death of Phil Everly, anybody that's involved in today's music industry, should probably take a moment of silence and give thanks, pay homage to one half of the duo who pretty much put two-part harmony vocals in in world pop music culture. Lennon and McCartney, they've openly said the Everly Brothers were gigantic inspirations to us as far as our vocal style. And we've talked in earlier episodes, Smitty, about even in my family, my brothers and I, my brother Pat and I had a bass guitar, and my brother had an electric guitar, a Fender guitar. And we talk about garage bands, we talk about guys with their guitars and their instruments who would practice in the garage and just really annoy the neighborhood. But you were going to be a rock star. You were going to be, you're going to have this great band and tour the country and be famous and have records. And a lot of that inspiration goes back to the Everly Brothers. I can remember Wake Up Little Susie back in, I guess, the late 50s. I remember hearing that song And I remember watching the Everly Brothers, I believe, on Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan, yeah.
And they were very clean cut. They were very 50s looking. But here's two brothers. I grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles. Here's two brothers who grew up in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And they were almost mislabeled as country singers, but they weren't. They created a genre called country rock,
mm-hmm.
which to this day is the stock and trade of groups like the Eagles and singers such as Linda Ronstadt. And during the late 50s and 60s, Phil Everly and Don, his brother, they ranked among the elite in the music world because of their pitch-perfect harmonies and emotive lyrics. Go back, listeners, listen to a couple of Everly Brothers songs and tell me if you don't see an inspiration for the Beach Boys, the Beatles, even and especially Simon and Garfunkel. And by the way, they notched 35 top 100 songs, more than any other vocal pair in music history. You know, they had a special sound, Smitty. Don had a lower register. He was generally ringing in just those perfect thirds. And then Phil had the higher voice. And it was the backbone of those dozens of hits. No one could even come near and copying it. And you talk about, they began playing in 1957, and they became international sensations. They were just as popular in Germany, in France, in Japan, as they were in the United States. And of course, with songs such as Bye Bye Love, Wake Up Little Susie, When Will I Be Loved, All I Have to Do is Dream, you think of how many pop artists have covered those songs.
Sure.
Right to and including present day, where you still have concerts where groups such as the Eagles and such as singers still do Everly Brothers covers. And even according to Rolling Stone, the Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll, the Everlys were rejected. Their music was rejected, and they said they sounded too much like they were trying to copy Elvis Presley. But guess what? A few years later, Dick Clark accused the Beatles of trying to copy the Everly Brothers.
So, well, as they say, imitation is the best form of flattery.
Absolutely. But, you know, we have our obituaries, we talk about the loss of somebody, but at the same time, when the subject turns to Phil Everly, we have to talk not only of the loss, but of the contribution this American original made to pop music, world pop music. These guys were the best of the best. They were the trendsetters and the pioneers, and as we're learning, even with our show, to be a pioneer is not so easy because you don't have a formula. You create the formula as you go, and people just tend to want to compare you to someone else, but they couldn't compare the Everly Brothers to anyone else. They could only compare the Everly Brothers to the Everly Brothers.
That's exactly right, Mike. They were a unique pair, Don and Phil Everly. Don's still with us. Don was born in 1937. Phil was born in 1939, and we lost Phil here on January 3rd of 2014. They seem to, Mike, have a very fine line between sort of a country sound and kind of a rock and roll, rockabilly sound. And I think they were able to straddle that line quite well. In fact, they did. I think they did chart both on the rock and roll and the country charts at different times in their career.
They charted in rock and roll and at the same time country and at the same time easy pop. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what the genre used to be called, easy listening, I think,
right.
It was.
Uh-huh.
And imagine a duet coming out with a hit every 10 weeks, which is what they did.
That's amazing.
They'd roll out from about 1957 on for a few years. They would roll a top blockbuster hit every 10 weeks. And I don't think that's been done since then. Maybe with the Beatles, but we're talking about a couple of guys, a couple of brothers, a couple of kids from Kentucky who had guitars and decided they're going to create their own formula as far as how to harmonize and sing. And the rest is just history.
That's right. And they did come from a musical family. Their father, Isaac Everly, was a musician, and he had a radio program in Shenandoah, Iowa in the 1940s with his wife and Don and Phil's mom, Margaret, on radio stations KMA and KFNF. And the singing on the program gave the brothers, Don and Phil, their first exposure to the music industry. And the family sang together and lived and traveled in the area and singing as the Everly family. That was back in the 40s. And The Everly brothers grew up from their early years through early high school in Shenandoah, Iowa. And they, again, Mike, as you were pointing out, they moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and they continued their musical career there. I guess they first caught the attention of Chet Atkins, who was a family friend, and he was one of their very early early supporters.
And Chet Atkins collaborated with them with a song called All I Have to Do Is Dream. The writer of the song and the producer pitched it, I believe, to maybe a dozen and a half, two dozen popular artists of the time. They all turned it down. They didn't think it was a good song. They didn't think it was any good. All I Have to Do Is Dream. Chet Atkins jumped in, and together with the Everlys, they made it a chart buster. And the first time the Beatles, in late 50s, John Lennon and Paul McCartney heard that, they couldn't wait to cover that song. It was a masterpiece, written as a masterpiece, sung as a masterpiece, and to this day, probably the majority of us who like the Everly Brothers type music put All I Have to Do Is Dream at the top.
Absolutely. Very well remembered hits that that keep on living.
The Everlys, they had their little problems, as brothers do.
They did. They quarreled.
Talking to someone before the show, and they talked about a little row the Everly Brothers had on stage at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes.
But I've been in fights with my brothers at Knott's Berry Farm, too, so it's okay.
That's okay. You're in good company.
Yeah, good company. Phil Everly, we're going to miss you, buddy. God bless, and thank you. Thank you for your contribution to the American original and an American pop icon.
We remember Phil Everly and thank him and his brother Don for many, many memories. Well, we're at the end of our show. We want to remind you that we would love to hear from you if you have any memories that you'd like to share with us or just want to check in. Our email address is galaxymoonbeamnightside@gmail.com. galaxymoonbeamnightside@gmail.com. Our website is galaxymoonbeamnightside, and don't forget the Galaxy Moonbeam Nightside page on Facebook. Stop by and look at some of the neat pictures we've got there.
And we do hope to see you back, and we'll be listening to you in your emails, and we hope you'll continue listening to us for the next year coming up. And have a great new year, everybody. Have a wonderful, prosperous 2014.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up the show and leave you with one of my favorite Everly Brothers songs, Let It Be Me.
That's right. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for joining us. We look forward to having you with us next time on Galaxy Moonbeam Night Sight on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you, and so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one if you must cling. I find complete love.
This is the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.